Well, them young people were good, amen. I love young people. And you say, why do you like young people? They keep me young, amen. And I think about our young people over there. They used to say, well, young people, we're going on an activity. They said, no, Pastor, you got it all wrong. We're taking you on an activity, amen. And several times, I remember one time we went, we did this, you know, them scooters. Pastor Dave's, his kids got them little scooters. And so we took them all on a scooter activity with rollerblading, too. Man, I was all over the ground. And but we had a wonderful time, Karen and I did, I'll tell you. So I learned, same way, you know, soldiers, single soldiers are just older teenagers. That's all they are. You'll go through a housing area, or you'll go around the billets, and you'll see them all out there playing with their little remote control cars and speedboats, you know, whatever there is out there. But it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and I love young people. And some have said young people are the hope for tomorrow, but I say that they're the hope for today, amen. And but we're grateful. Thank you, Bethel Baptist Church, for being so good. Thank you, Pastor and staff, for being with us and standing with us. We count it a privilege to be a part of this ministry. And really, we are just simply you on the mission field. That's how seriously I take us working together in harmony to accomplish the work for God. It is a joy to be a part of BIMI. We are now well over 1,100 missionaries. We have 89 missionaries in 20 different countries working with military churches around the world. And it's a privilege to be able to put churches near military bases. Of course, as we came back, we turned our work over. It's good to report that our work in Schweinfurt is still going on. Souls are being saved. Our dear brother is doing a tremendous work there. Thank God for that. We are currently looking to go back to Heidelberg for 6 months to a year to work alongside another missionary and help him there. He's got a unique ministry working with the singles. What he's doing, not only is he reaching military singles, but he's also reaching English-speaking Germans and also American students studying abroad in Heidelberg. So there's going to be a good opportunity there, along with some of the young couples and the families there, to be able to work there. While the military begins its transitioning, as bases are already being closed, we will be looking in other areas of Germany, also at the possibility of former Eastern Bloc countries. So you pray for us. We are excited for Pastor and for Pastor to come, and I believe Pastor Rob will be coming as part of that, and we've got preacher already lined up to preach Sunday morning where we'll be at. And so we're really, really excited about that. And I wrote a note about looking for clocks and radios. Radios. And we'll make sure we'll get you some radios, and we'll try to find some places that have that. And I'll put the bug out to try to find some places. Amen. I love special days. How many love special days? Man, I love special days, and Valentine's Day just passing. I'll tell you what, it would not be done without my wife. And Karen, would you stand? This young lady outside of my salvation has been the best thing that's happened in my life. And with preaching, but Karen's really carried the bulk of the load on the mission field, literally with when we were short of people. You know, you talk about rotating families through. We go through that every year or every 2 to 3 years. We rotate a whole church through. And so we do understand that. And many times my wife would be able to pick up on her shoulders and carry a lot of different ministries. And I thank God for that. But special days. I thought about this. I bet you don't know what day this is, said the wife to her husband. As he made his way out the front door, the husband was perplexed, but was always a quick thinker. It pays to think quick. Amen. Of course I do, my dear. How could I forget? With that, he turned and rushed to catch the bus for work. At 10 a.m., the doorbell rang, and when the woman opened the door, she was handed a box containing a dozen long-stem red roses. At 1 p.m., a foil-wrapped 2-pound box of her favorite chocolates arrived. Later, a boutique delivered a designer dress. The woman couldn't wait for her husband to come home. The husband was smug when he returned from work, satisfied that he had recovered what could have been a very bad situation. You know, it pays to stay in the recovery stages too, amen. His wife indeed was surprised. First the flowers, then the chocolates, and then the dress. She exclaimed, "I've never had a more wonderful Groundhog Day in my life." Praise God. She said, "Honey, let every day be Groundhog Day." So young ladies, as you meet your husband down the road, you say, "I want Groundhog Day every day." Well, praise the Lord. Well, turn your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses 8 through 11. And I'm going to read a portion out of Acts chapter number 19, verses 22 through 26. But you'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and I will join you in just a few minutes after I read this portion of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses 8 through 11. Let me read Acts chapter number 19, verses 22 through 26, if I may. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. And let me break this down here. Paul, in this chapter here, actually wanted to go to Rome. It was his desire to go there and reach the brethren there. But the Lord kept him in Asia. So he sent the other two brethren on ahead. Wonderful things were happening there as he sent the other two brethren ahead on in Rome. People were getting saved. Later on, churches were established in the Roman area. At the same time, while Paul was in Asia, wonderful things were happening there. People were getting saved. And it's a wonderful thing that the Lord kept him there so people could get saved. You know, I'm learning over the years now that God knows where we need to be, when we need to be, and how we need to be. The bottom line is God does know best. Amen. He knows these things in our life. Now, as Paul stayed there, people were being saved. They were being saved out of magic worship. And also during that was prevalent was Diana worship, which they were taking silver statues and worshiping that. But once they got saved, they realized that they did not need all these extra things. They only needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they were getting rid of them. There was a group of businessmen, which was led by Demetrius, a silversmith, which went after Paul's ministry to the point of physical death threatening, which was led by Demetrius. Now, as you join me over into 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1, Paul now is writing back to this church of Corinth. He's writing back as a missionary, writing back to a church that helped his ministry. At least a missionary ought to communicate with his churches. He ought to write back, hey, this is what's going on, this is what we've done, and this is what we desire to do, but this is the results of you investing your prayer, your finances in our ministry, and I'm now letting you know what you have helped us to accomplish here in this ministry. And Paul now writes to this Corinthian church as letting them know, hey, this is what you have done to be a part of our ministry. Notice what Paul says here in verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. You know, Paul knew that he could trust God because God raised Christ Jesus that third day. Listen, folks, I'm glad to know tonight that we serve a God that we can trust. We serve a God that we can trust in any situation. Listen, God is not too far beyond our problems. God's not too above our problems. God's not too below our problems. God's right there with us in the midst of our problems and our situation. And Paul knew that. Notice what he said. He began to talk about that trust. Notice, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. In verse 10, Paul talks about that deliverance and knew that he could trust God, that God would deliver him. Because Paul knew something about deliverance. If you'll look at verse number 10, you'll look and see who delivered us from so great a death. Paul here was talking about that spiritual deliverance. He was making reference to that deliverance in Acts chapter number 9. As he was on his road on the way to Damascus, when the Lord came to him, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And of course, we know the story, how Paul fell to his knees and said, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord came and revealed himself to him. I want you to know, I'm so glad being involved in missions that God is in the business of revealing himself to men, women, boys, and girls around the world. Are you glad that God is in the business of revealing himself? Hey, do you remember the day that you got saved? Oh, thank God for that wonderful day that the Lord came to me and spoke to my heart and loved me and cared enough and bowed my head and trusted him as my personal Savior. See, Paul knew what it was to be spiritually delivered. Then he said, who delivers from so great a death. Then he goes in here, not only spiritual deliverance, he said, in death deliverance. He talks about present deliverance here. I'm so glad to know that God delivers in our present need and our present time. And here Paul talks about that present deliverance, how he knew that God delivered him in that present situation. Then he talks about in whom we trust that he will yet, he puts it in a future tense of down the road that God would deliver. He's talking about that heavenly deliverance. And as one day we would refer to either from death unto life or the rapture of the church. Amen. Paul knew something about future deliverance. Then he goes down to verse 10. He tells them what God has done. Then he tells them how they played a part in what was done. Notice what he said in verse number 11. Ye also helping together. And that ideal together, if you'll study that word and study it, you'll see that's an ideal of teamwork. Banding as in one, working together. See, missions is not just about a missionary coming and you support him and then he goes on. See, the Bible says it like this, that we are laborers together with God. We're a team. See, the sender is no more important than the sendee. But let me say this tonight. The sendee is no more important than the sender. We're a team. You cannot do it without us. And I tell you tonight, we cannot do it without you. We are a team. Matter of fact, I believe when we get to heaven, I believe as people spend maybe extra hours working to be able to support their missionaries and help their missionaries, as a soul gets saved overseas, guess who's going to get just as much as reward as that missionary does? You are. Really, you're just like us being on the field. Because the sender is no more important than the sendee, and the sendee is no more important than the sender. Yeah. Notice what he said here. He also helping together by prayer for us. He goes on to say, thank you for your prayers. And he says that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. He says, I want to thank you for your physical gift. Thank you for your help. Folks, you and I both know that the gospel is free. But it does cost to operate a ministry to keep it going. Yeah. Same way on the mission field. It costs for a missionary to take care of his family. It costs for a missionary to be able to sustain a work and to keep a work moving. Thank God the gospel is free, but it does cost. You are aware of the cost that it does to cost to operate a ministry. So Paul said, thank you for that physical gift. See, a missionary can't alone go alone on a prayer. I wish that a missionary could go alone on prayer. But he does need that finances because that sustains him. Now let me say, as much as I said that a missionary needs finances that can't alone go on prayer, a missionary cannot go alone to the field on finances. He needs prayer. See, folks, I've seen God do through prayer what a dollar bill cannot do over the years. And I know that you have too in your life. Amen. God does through prayer what a dollar bill cannot do. Now you say, Brother Pierce, how do most missionaries prefer it? Both, amen. Yeah, they need prayer and they need finances both. Yeah. And so we ask God to work in hearts and lives of people. Now here's how we pray for churches. We pray, God, the most important thing is, would you bless churches spiritually? Folks, that's the most important thing about this life, that God would be lifted up. Paul said it best, I must decrease and he must increase. So we pray, God, would you bless the church spiritually? We pray for churches. We pray, of course, our home church. We pray for our pastor. We pray for the staff. We pray for the teachers. And we pray for physical needs. And we pray, God, bless the church spiritually. Then we pray, God, bless the church physically. We realize there's a lot of physical needs in church. And as it was explained tonight, there's been a lot of physical things that's happened. Then who thinks they could guess the third area we pray for? Financially. We pray, God, would you bless churches financially? Because somehow if churches are blessed financially and they're taken care of spiritually and physically, somehow that money gets on UPS and comes overseas. Amen. Well, that's an exciting thing. So what I want to give you tonight, real quick tonight, I want to give you some ways that you can pray for your missionaries. Now, we support 105. If you'll take one of these missionaries every night, or two every night, and you'll pray these five things, I promise you, as our missionaries come back from the field, they're going to say, not only did you help us financially, but I know when there was times that that prayer made a difference when that money did not. I'm going to give you five ways. If you're taking notes, let me give you five ways real quick, but let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, touch us tonight in these next few minutes, we pray, to be a blessing and encouragement on ways to pray for missionaries. Lord, many of us will not be able to go to the mission field, but could I bring a glimpse of the mission field here tonight for their hearts and their lives on how to effectively pray for missionaries? In your name we pray. Amen. Number one, pray for your missionary's appointment. And beside that, put place. See, God doesn't call every missionary to the same place. He calls them to different places. And see, you can't compare one missionary in one place as to another missionary to another place, because different places do yield different results. Let me give you an idea where we were at in Schweinfurt. We had worked with the 1st Infantry Division. The base there had about 4,000. With family, had about 12,000. How many know what infantry are? Yeah. I mean, they're ground soldiers. I mean, in just training, they were gone 6 to 7 months a year out in the field training. So a lot of times we were left with just the families. And think about this. They were the first in Bosnia. They went to Kosovo for a deployment, came back, went to Kosovo again. Just right before we left, they went to Iraq, came back, went to Iraq again. And there was at times that it was streamlined. There was at times I began to say, Lord, won't you bring some Air Force in? Lord, it sure would be nice to have a military hospital. Lord, I'll take some Navy. I'll bring some of the Navy and make some some shore duty. Lord, I'll take some Marines. But you know what? As the time went on, I found that's where God wanted us to be. And I'm so thankful for that appointed place, because that's where God had us. And we were able to see several hundred saved and people baptized and people growing. Lord, I'll never forget, about 50 miles away in a training area, there was a piece of paper thrown down, which was our church flyer. And a young guy picked it up and he read it and he said, I don't want nothing to do with it. And he threw it down, and the other guy picked it up and looked at it and read it. And he called our house while we were there one night, and he said, you know, my platoon and I, we've been having a debate about heaven. He said, I'm kind of atheistic in the back of my mind. I said, well, why did you call me then, you know? But it was great. And he said, I don't know about this thing about heaven. I said, well, I'd like to share something with you if I might. And so Karen and I, we had the wonderful privilege of going over to that couple's house that night. And he said, Brother Pierce, what did you share with them? I simply shared with them the gospel. Amen. Amen. I shared with them the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Amen. And that night, him and his wife accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And he said, Brother Pierce, what happened the next day? They came forward, and I'll never forget, they walked the aisle and made a profession of faith that they accepted Christ as their Savior. And they said, Preacher, what do we do next? And I said, well, it's a good step of baptism. And we had the wonderful privilege of baptizing that couple. And what a blessing it was. And then about a month later, they said, Preacher, we've got orders to leave already. It's already came down. Our orders are time for us to leave. And you know, I want you to know, it's a wonderful thing that they're serving God down there, Fort Stewart, Georgia. Amen. But you know, I think about that. If we just went because of that one family and the other families, hey, it was worth going to that appointed place. Pray for your missionary's appointment. And beside that, remember that place. Number two, pray for your missionary's assurance. And beside that, put protection. You know, different places are a little bit more dangerous than others. Your missionaries need you to pray for their protection. I think about Dr. Vineyard's missionaries over in the Ivory Coast. As I was in a conference, he made a call to his missionaries that had to come off. His son was severely beaten and his wife was severely injured. And they just felt like they needed to come back off the field and kind of wait to let things simmer down. Real things happen out there. Your missionaries need you to pray for their assurance. And beside that, put protection. Amen. Pray for your missionaries' assurance. That's protection. Number three, how many's ever started a new job? Raise your hand.
Eighth graders here? How many freshmen do we have? You ever wonder what's going to happen to your freshman year? Yeah. How many's ever lived down south and had to move up north? Anybody from down south? All right. Anybody from out west move out east? Or from out west move out east? How about somebody from the country that has to move to the city?
Yeah.
Or someone from the city move to the country? I'm a city center, amen. What do you call that?
Stress.
Adjustment, amen. Now, you think about a missionary. They come here and they're from a good sending church. See, a lot of times we think we have to do everything so westernized on the mission field. See, the gospel doesn't change, but methods may. But you think about a missionary. They're here with good fellowship, and they've got their home church. They've got good preaching, and they're fired up, and they've been grounded. And all of a sudden, they get to the field, and everything that they think is right is wrong, and everything is all backwards. It's like their whole world's turned around. See, they adjust maybe to culture they have to adjust to. Then there's physical adjustment. Then there's spiritual adjustment. Pray for your missionaries as they're on the field and they continually have these adjustments. And I think of first-term missionaries, and I think of things. You know, even though working in several military churches over the year, I'll never forget the first time that we took that soldier to the airport. And I'll never forget, it really hit me. As that first year and a half of there, now you think about it, we were running a small group. We gained almost 14 to 15 families. We were having high days of 75 to 80 to at times at 100. God was blessing. Within that first year and a half, almost at the 2-year mark, we had a whole group, 13 families at the same time get ready to roll out. We're talking about replacing Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, and every ministry, they were gone. And it hit me as I took that first soldier to the airport, and that young man that was called to preach under our ministry, it was a great blessing. As I called Karen up as we were getting there, and as I began to drop his bags off at Frankfurt International Airport, and we put them bags right there on the corner, and he began to look up, and there was tears running down his eyes. And he said, "Pastor, I've only been with you about 6 months." He said, "But I've gotten my life right with God."
Amen.
He said, "God's called me to preach."
Amen.
And he said, "You've made a difference in my life." He said, "Matter of fact, Mrs. Pierce has put 5 pounds on me."
Amen.
Man, it was wonderful. And I'll never forget, he looked up and he began to cry and he hugged me and he said, "Pastor, I love you."
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad to report our dear brother is finishing school down now, Fort Stewart, Georgia, running the bus ministry down there.
Amen.
And found a godly young lady that he's married. You say, "Would you do it over again?" I sure mostly would do it over again.
Amen.
But you know, I found out if we're going to be in military ministry for years, we're going to have to get used to that adjustment. Over and over, and building and losing, and building and losing. Pray for your missionaries. Adjustment. That's perception. Appointment is place. Assurance is protection. Adjustment is perception. And number four, let me give you this. I like joking with young people a lot, and I know you'll know this. What does this mean? Huh? Go ahead. You said it.
Don't say love,
man. Loser! Loser! Hey, nobody wants to be a loser. I don't know a missionary that wants to be a loser on the field. He wants to come back and say, "Hey, God used me to accomplish something." I'll never forget, we were in a big conference over in Switzerland, and we had this guy from Slovakia come, and we were sharing testimonies, and he stood up as I was tonight, and he began to cry. And he said, "I've worked hard, but I can't report the results that some of you men have seen." And I began to think about some times that we were going through. He said, "But we did our best." And we all, we looked at all the other missionaries. We said, "Hey, we've got a discouraged missionary here." And you know what we did? We said, "Brother, have you been giving out trash?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "We've been flying." And he said, "But we're in a hard area. It's staunch, different religion." And he said, "But, you know, we've been faithful." I said, "Brother, you're not a failure." I said, "You've accomplished something." We all got around that missionary and we prayed with him. And we We cried over him. We said, oh, God bless his ministry. We said, brother, you know, it might be good for you just to go back to your home church. Let your home church love on you, your pastor, and your people. And just let them become a part of your lives. And when that brother came back to the States, and he went back to Slovakia the following year, and I believe that he finally started seeing fruit after 5 or 6 years. People started to say, that brother's got a wonderful ministry going on in Slovakia. Pray for your missionaries' accomplishments. See, that's proficiency. Pray that God would be glorified. That's the most important thing. Then pray that the gospel would be given. Boy, pray. Paul said that he would have a word of utterance. Then pray that there would be genuine growth. Amen. That people would grow. I've heard it said like this before. Seek them, reap them, and keep them. Amen. Go after them, get them, disciple them, get them involved and keep them. I heard it also said like this. Win them, wed them, and work them. Amen. I like active discipleship. I don't think we always need a 12-month thing to bring them along. I think we disciple them as we go, and then we get them involved in the church and get all excited about what God can do as He begins to work through and in their lives. Pray for your missionaries' accomplishment. That's proficiency. I think of a family that sat right here. We're going to wind this up, and I'll never forget. A family sat right about here, and I'll never forget. They called my wife one night, and my wife said, we got a call, and she said, I'd like to come out to church. She said, but I'm a little nervous. My wife said, well, what would that be? And she said, well, I've got a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old. And she said, they've never been in church, but I've been in church. And she said, my wife said, that's all right. They can come, and we'd love to have them. She said, well, I'm a little nervous. I think they're going to hang from the chandeliers. My wife said, that's all right. We got a room where they can come hang from the chandeliers. Amen. And we knew that if they'd come to church, they would learn how to be in church. Well, she came that next day, and it was a wonderful time as she came in. We had a good service that day, and I'll never forget. She walked out and gave a good testimony of being saved, and my wife dealt with her. But she said that she's never been scripturally baptized, and she came forward asking that she could get baptized. And we had the wonderful privilege of baptizing her. Man, her children, for the first time, probably heard the story of Gideon. Probably for the first time heard the story of Moses and Noah. And I'll never forget, on the way out, they were just so excited. They said, Mom, we just had a great time. And I'll never forget, we had a banister that went down our building was at like an elderly home. And so we had this banister, and also we had an elevator that they could go to if they were older. But we had this banister, and I'll never forget, I heard this huge crash and noise. And I'm like, wow, that was pretty good. So I kind of walked down the hallway and found out that 5-year-old got on that banister, slid down, and knocked everything off that table. And guess what the little 4-year-old did? He got on that banister and knocked, slid down and knocked everything over. I kind of walked down the hall, Karen and I, the other people was looking at me laughing a little bit. We saw the kids look up and said, Mom, we like this church better than the playground. They have a better slide than the playground. Man, it was a wonderful church. Well, they kept coming. God kept us. And again, guess what happened next night? After a couple months later, old dad walked in. Well, I'll never forget, old dad walked in.
Amen.
And I like to ask, and we like to keep things like this. And we love a general as much as we do a private. Amen.
Yeah.
And we love a private as much as we do a general. We have no regular church. Matter of fact, a lot of times they like to come off an off-coast trip because they get away from that regimental. They know that, and it's not anything military related. So they came in. He came in that day, and I like to keep things light. I like to ask them where they're from in the States, you know. And we joke, we go back and forth, and I always tell them if they're from Michigan, I'm going to put the curse on them because I'm a Buckeye. I said that in Michigan a couple months back. Woo! They stood up and booed me. Amen. Yeah. And I said, don't worry. I said, I'll give you notes for calling you. Come forward and get right with us. Yeah. Oh, it was wonderful. But I was joking back. Hey, one time we had a contest who could bring the most from which state, amen? Well, you ought to see them on how Michigan people going out.
Yeah.
Hey, they weren't worried about spiritual things. They was going, where are you from?
Yeah.
And they feel how they said, well, you're coming to church this week because we're having a contest. And man, they were bringing all kinds of people. It was fun watching each state going after.
That's a great problem.
Man, it was great. We had a good time over there. Now it's like sometimes which country you're from. But we loved it. Yeah. We just had a wonderful time. And I'll never forget that dad walked in. And he was real quiet. After that, he was real staunch, and he just said, Pastor, I'm getting ready to go to the 82nd Airborne. And I don't talk a lot of military because I know they do that all the time. I switched gears because I knew it was an 8-hour period to get a drop zone. And
yeah. Right.
And I said, that's pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
I said, that's a real dangerous situation. I'll never forget. He goes, if I'm glad my wife and children have a place for
amen.
And he sat down. And that morning, I was talking about a little bit about the family. And I just mentioned, you know, guys, you don't get a lot of quality time. You don't get a lot of quantity time. But take some quality time.
Yeah.
Well, I'll never forget, he got real red towards the invitation. Man, that's cool. I was wondering what happened. And Karen was playing the invitation. I'll never forget. He stepped out and he had his fist out like this. He had his hands out like this. I said, this guy's going to punch me for Jesus. Amen. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to expect. Sometimes I wanted to pucker in the ministry. Sometimes I wanted to duck. This time I was ducking. Well, he stepped out and all of a sudden he grabbed my hand. I said, here it comes. All of a sudden he began to cry. My mind, I said, thank you, Jesus. Well, I tell you, we got down. He got up there. He said, Pastor. He said, my daddy let me, my grandpa let me Jesus. He said, but I'm old. I'm so far away from the Lord. He said, I'm not playing in the military. He said, but Pastor, you know what it's like here in the military base. You've been around the military.
Yeah.
And I said, yes. I said, boy, I've had such a need. You know what they need? They need the gospel. That's what they need.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the need. He said, you know, I want my family to do something for God. And he said, Pastor, he said, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord.
Hey,
yeah. And
then
he said, Pastor, can I get baptized?
Amen.
Boy, it's a wonderful thing, watch God work. And his little boys were just having a good time. You know, a couple months later, his boys come. They said, Pastor, we notice you talk about being saved here. We see people getting saved here. They said, Pastor, do you think that we can get saved?
Amen.
Of course, I said, no, you can't. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I said, boys, I said, do you know what sin is? And they knew what sin was. And boy, them two little precious boys accepted Christ as their personal
Amen.
Savior that day. And man, God worked hard. They were excited. I'll never forget. They love that song, Victory in Jesus. Do you know where it said, he plunged me to victory?
Yeah.
Them two boys thought it said he punched me to victory. Well, during the service, every time we would sing, he plunged me to victory, they'd sing, he punched me to victory, and they would punch each other in the face. I'm like, man, what are we going to do? And finally, James said, he said, Pastor, he said, you got to help me out. I said, boys, when you get saved, the Lord forgives your sins as far as from the east to the west.
Yeah.
I said, he plunges you to victory. And I said, and that's what he did in your life. And he said, oh, Pastor. So a couple months later, they got to see us doing a few baptisms. All of a sudden, a couple months later, they said, Preacher, how come when people get saved here, you drowned them? I'm like, what, boys? They said, yeah, people get saved here, you drowned them. I'm like, boys, that's baptism. I said, I bring them up. And they said, Pastor, they said, you think we could get baptized? You think you could drown us too?
Yeah.
I said, boys, I said, we love to baptize. We went over it. And I explained to them, I said, boys, baptism is simply just an outward of what Jesus did inwardly.
Yeah.
They understood that. We had the privilege of watching Mom and Dad sit there. And we watched them two little boys get baptized.
Yeah.
We started with nothing, with just a little flyer that we put in a box that she got a hold of. And then she said, hey, she said, I want to come out. Then we went to the dad room. You know what? They were all there, right with the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that they're down by Fort Bragg still serving God in a church
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
That's genuine growth. See, that's praying for your missionaries' accomplishments and asking
yeah.
God to do something. Thank God for Brother Quizon and the ministries that he's
yeah.
had and how people are being saved and rich.
Yeah.
We need to be done because we're all hungry. Amen. Good preaching makes you hungry. Number five, pray for your missionaries' assets. That's God's providence. Pray that God would provide for your missionaries. See, pray for proper support. You know, pray that God would have. I think there's something you learn if, you know, and I've seen it happen. So many guys want to leave so fast and they don't
yeah.
have the money to operate over there, and
You're
it's
right.
tough. And I learned that the first time. I think that was a big thing to get a hold of. And then pray for persistence of support. Then pray how to use that support. Pray for your missionaries' assets. That's God's providence. Let me give you that. Appointment is place. Assurance is protection. Adjustment is perception. Accomplishment is proficiency. Assets is God's providence. You say, Brother Pierce, you ever have any discouraging moments? I'll tell you, after that time when we lost all them soldiers, we had the deployment to Kosovo on a Wednesday night. We always had someone there, but on a Wednesday night, we had nobody show up for church. Nobody, not one person. Well, I take that back. We had the Wood family. We had the Pews. Yeah. Karen and I, we stood there. We said, Lord, we gave our life to you. He said, Brother Pierce, I know you got up and just preached to your wife. No, man, I got up and I held her and we cried.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, had a lot of people call us, was concerned. And I'll never forget, he said, what'd you do? I said, we gathered each other. I got down on my hands and knees and we prayed at that front altar. And we said, Lord, we know that you called us here. You called us to this little town of Schweinfurt, Germany with 4,000, with family members, 12,000.
Amen.
Lord, you've told us to be faithful. You've told us to be committed. You've told us to do what's right. And we're just going to do what you've told us always to do, was to be faithful, to be committed. And I said, Lord, we're just going to do what we've always done, to go out and love people, help people, build people, and get people, and do a work for you. Well, I'll never forget, our soldiers started coming back from Kosovo. Family started coming back from the States, what, few. And we continued to pass out the flyers and go on soul winning. Karen and I have knocked 4,000 doors personally in Schweinfurt,
Amen.
Germany. Every door there we've knocked and tried to talk to somebody. And I'll never forget, we kept it all sun. We began to see a family here and a family there and a family here and a family there. And before you know it, we were back in the 50s and 60s running again from nothing. Because you say, what was it? It was God doing his work. Amen. Hey, maybe you've had some discouraging times in your life. Maybe you've had some discouragement this year. I want you to know God is a God that we can trust and run to. He wants to help you. He wants to give you the strength. Don't run from the Lord. Run to the Lord. He's an encouragement to our hearts. I hope we've challenged you to pray for your missionaries tonight. If you'll take two or three of them and pray them ways, you're going to make a difference, I promise you. I ask you tonight, if you'll take Karen and I as your missionaries, we are you on the field.
Yes.
Brother Greer, I'm you on the field. Brother Rod, I'm you. So Pastor, I'm you on the field. Pastor Dave, I'm you on the field. Bethel, I'm you on the field. We might be here now, but tomorrow we're still here because we're you on the field. If you'll pray them five ways for Karen and I know God will help our ministry. We sure need his help more than ever. We all need his help. Let's pray with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm just going to ask the pianist to come. And we're going to just want to ask one question. I wonder tonight, would there be anyone here tonight who would say, Brother Pierce, if I was to die tonight, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that here tonight? You'd raise your hand and say, pray for me. If I die tonight, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? How many would say, I'm glad I'm saved. I remember a day where I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I've got my testimony. I'll raise my hand. Oh, bless your heart. Let us pray. And then I'm just going to turn the invitation how it's normally done. And then we'll ask the Lord to bless. Father, help us now, Lord. I hope that we've helped you encourage your people tonight to pray for missionaries, Lord, and to be behind them and to love them. And Lord, thank you for our church being behind us and what they've meant to us and how they've helped us. Lord, thank you for our pastor. Thank you for our staff. Thank you, Lord, for our members, Lord, that support faithfully missionaries.
Yes.
Many of them working, instead of 8 hours, working 12 hours to give to Faith Promise missions. I want them to know that their home missionary don't take that for granted, and I'm mindful to pray for them and respect that in a tremendous way. They're just as important as we are. As we are going to the field, as them being here giving and working in this church. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Pierce. What a blessing. What a great challenge to help us to pray for our missionaries. Amen. Maybe you'd like to come tonight and pray. If you would, you come right now. Let's stand. Debbie's playing.